Everybody's talking about how we support the troops, but we're still struggling to make good on that mutual promise across the United States.
Mayor Pete, is there a role for something like this in the VA, do you think, or is it better suited as a program as it is now?
I think the question is how federal agencies like the VA, and for that matter HUD, can be helpful. Part of what's so elegant about this is that it is community-based, and so we don't need to kind of have this be driven from Washington. If anything, what's so compelling is the way that this is now spreading to other communities seeking to do the right thing. So the question is, how can federal policy be a wind at their back? And I do think the VA could take more steps to connect up these layers that these leaders are building. HUD could take more steps, and between them we could do things like look at support for transitional housing, not just permanent housing, and a number of other areas where between the formal appointment at the VA hospital and the street where a lot of folks find themselves, that connective tissue is missing.
Mayor Pete, you had 1,000 people at your fundraiser here last night. You've raised more money than any other Democrat in the second quarter. Do you feel like a front runner yet?
I'm not going to jinx myself, but what I'll say is that we're thrilled with the trajectory of this campaign. What we're finding is that the more people hear the message, the more they're inspired to become part of it. And yet there's still a great many of people who still don't really know much about us. And so it tells us we've got a very high ceiling, but we've got to do the work. And that involves a ton of work on the ground in early states where you'd expect us to be, Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and so on. But also states like Missouri that need to hear from our party.
Yeah, we would not expect you to be in Missouri.
Well, and that's kind of the point. You could feel in the energy last night that there's a lot of folks in states like mine that I believe it is nowhere written that these states must belong to one political party or another. But we're never going to change that if we don't engage and let people know in every state, red, blue, and purple, what our values are and how people can fit into that.
Mayor Pete, you've been a millennial mayor. We have a millennial mayor on his way in. Any words of advice or thoughts on some of the strengths of having young people running a city like Kansas City?
Well, I can tell you got a mayor-elect who's already ready to hit the ground running. I'd be reluctant to offer him advice. But what I will say is that there is a new generation that's stepping forward. You got a generation that provided a lot of the troops in the post-9/11 conflicts. You got a generation that is really changing the Congress and changing a lot of our communities. And part of what we're trying to build in my campaign is a generational alliance. We got folks barely old enough to vote, and folks my parents' age, who are really concerned with the future. And I think one of the great things about having served in the military is, even somebody with a radically different life experience who served in a totally different conflict than you did, you can still connect with them over that. And what you see here has that intergenerational quality, too. It's one of the things, actually, I was most noticing getting to know the vets who are here. And so I think that spirit will very much, I trust, be with Mayor Lucas, and is also something that's happening across the country. Needless to say, I think it wouldn't be a bad thing for that spirit to enter our national politics, too.
Mayor, do you think the baby boomers dropped the ball and it's going to be millennials that have to clean up the mess?
Well, I think every generation makes its contributions. What I'll say
you
is
think
that
the baby boomers dropped the ball.
I'll say there's a lot of unfinished business that I want to make sure that by the time I'm reaching the age that the baby boomers are now. I talk a lot about 2055. That's when I'd reach the current age of the president. And I want to be able to look back on what we did now when it fell to our generation to make these choices and actually turn the corner on matters from veterans' homelessness to gun violence in our communities to climate change. Because we will be held accountable for what we did in this time, just as many are asking what those in charge have done and not done in order to make American life work today.
Mayor Lucas said that places like this address the gaps in the system. Is the need for a place like this a sign of the failure of the VA? And as someone who's running for the highest office in the land, what would you do to fix that?
Well, I think it shows that we need better results out of the VA, no question. You hear so many stories of people who turn to the VA for help only to find themselves battling it. At the same time, the VA is doing tremendous work that nobody else can do. So it's not a question of being for or against the VA. It's a question of asking how our overall system can work better. Part of that means making sure we cut wait times and increase access and get people signed up for the benefits that they have earned. And that's something that needs to be fixed within the VA. But part of what you see happening here, and you see this with local leadership across the country, is that communities aren't waiting for everything to get fixed nationally. They're finding solutions. They're putting in the connective tissue. They're making sure there's a human face, not another website, on how we navigate these things. And that will always be important, no matter how good the federal systems are.
Out of Buttigieg, administration VA, is there a place for someone like Jason Kander?
I think that, let's just say America is not done with calling him to service at the highest levels, but I'm proud of what he's doing right here on the ground.
Some Trump supporters often shy away from large group races like this. Looking over on the Kansas side, there seems to be a sea change coming with the number of Democrats that have been elected, especially in November of last year. What do you want Midwest Democrats to know about the future of the race, what your future looks like, your future plans, so that they get more comfortable dealing with a large number of names and choices?
Well, I think some of that will sort itself out naturally over the coming months. I think the biggest thing people want to know is, how's my life going to be different if we elect this person instead of that person? Kansas is a remarkable example of where a radical ideological experiment didn't work out. And now people are thinking past their partisan habits and just looking to get results. And what we're finding is, you try it one way and it doesn't work, try it our way and it works better, that's going to vindicate the party as a whole. I think that everything we talk about needs to come down to how life will be different. That's trying to give people a raise. That's trying to preserve people's access to health care. It's trying to make sure we take care of our veterans, because all politics is not just local, it is personal for somebody. And that's the kind of story we're telling, from our highest values down to the most concrete, down-to-the-earth results. And so far, that's helped us cut through a very big, very qualified field. And that's the message frame we're going to stick to as we go forward.
Mayor, do you think that the controversy over the president's tweets from the weekend are going to sustain, or is it going to be simply another controversy of the week? And
you know, every few days...
Is it going to linger?
Every few days, there's a fresh outrage from the president, and it gets us talking, and we need to talk about things like racism emanating from the White House. I think the challenge for America is to be able to address and confront things like that without losing the rest of the conversation. You know, tomorrow, I believe, the United States Congress will vote on a package to raise the minimum wage to $15, impacting millions of Americans, and we're barely hearing a peep out of it. To me, it might be the story of the week, and we need to find a way to confront wrongdoing, falsehoods, and racism out of the White House, and at the very same time, make sure we're lifting up our agenda to make people's lives better.
So it's not going to have staying power?
There'll probably be another outrage to come, but it's all part of a pattern, it's part of a bigger picture, and it's part of why we need change in the White House.
Mayor Pete, how would you relate to the squad if members of your own party want to take the country in a direction that you don't think is best?
I think it's very healthy for our party to have a range of opinions, especially as we get into this season of the 2020 primary. The whole virtue of the primary is it's when people hash out exactly where the party is headed. And I welcome all of those voices. We're talking about Americans who have been elected by their fellow Americans in order to lead and represent them. That's a healthy conversation, even if it turns at some moments into a tug of war over strategy, or we're still hashing out exactly what the right answer is going to be.
Last question.
Mayor Buttigieg, has anyone you've served with experienced similar issues like homelessness or anything that would relate to this project here?
Yeah, certainly. The units that I've served in have not been immune to PTS, unfortunately, to suicide. And it's a reminder that when someone agrees to serve our country, when they enter a conflict, often that conflict follows them home. Often it follows them long after they've left the military. And it's another reason why we need to make sure we're doing everything we can, not just to say that we support the troops, not just to have a bumper sticker or a handshake or a smile or a flag, but to actually do the work that, by the way, a lot of people don't realize how qualified they are to do. Maybe I'll end with this. A lot of folks think, well, I'm not an expert on trauma counseling. What business do I have helping veterans? The kind of support that veterans need, everybody's an expert in something. And in particular, a lot of people are experts in their own community. We're piloting a project called Veterans Community Connections in South Bend, which I'm excited to share with their leadership what I've seen here. It's about plugging in our 311 system to a network of community volunteers who can just help people acclimate to the community, help them navigate the way to a doctor's office or soccer lessons for their kid. Whatever it is you're good at, from construction to zoning to knitting to behavioral psychology. Everybody's good at something, and everybody could put that to work to make veterans better off. The federal government can't do that alone, and that's why VCP is so impressive. It unites that huge reserve of goodwill to specific things people can do on the ground to make a difference and do right by those who put their lives on the line for this country.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.